WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the football season. Want to give a shout out to the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. We're going to be at Nick's Grandstand Grill in Timonium, as the coach would say, on Friday from 2 until 5. Leonard Raskin, wearing my Raskin Global shirt. Leonard's going to bring his boy by. We're going to talk about the Ohio State band playing Rush. I was on the line with our friends at Fadley's and State Fair because we're putting together some shows there. We're going to have the mayor at Coco's in Lauraville on the 17th of November. That's a Wednesday, kind of a special edition. I'm flying off to Chicago, I think, on that Friday. And this is always a special edition. Anytime I get together, I've already gotten together with his son this week to talk about Monday night's football game. Now it is time for the recon. Don Moeller joins us now, former Baltimore County executive, my high school guidance counselor, the man that once told me that I could be the next Chris Thomas. So, Don, when they wanted to tell me to F off and F you back in the Trump administration, they would tell me to stick to sports. So in this particular case, I think sports has been so compelling. Over the weekend, college football, baseball, people have been digging that. Then obviously Sunday, we had some good games and whatever, the Browns, we get the hate on them. But Monday night, I mean, you're still tallying off in the year. You're getting to be, you're like over 70. You can't take these overtime games on a Monday night anymore.
That's what I told Jeff and Brian. I said, come on, guys, you're a lot younger. I mean, at the end, and I'm sure this is, and we'll talk about the crowd because I thought the crowd was amazing. But I said to them, we were so caught up in the moment and so emotionally drained. You know, you normally run out of 5:13 when the game's over and you to make your way to your car. We literally just sat for, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes, just sort of watching the activity on the field, just trying to decompress because, I mean, Nestor, you've watched games forever. I've watched games forever. I try not to be hyperbolic in talking about a sporting event, but I was trying to think. And you'll remember which one. You'll be better because I could not put my finger on it. I think it was the most exciting Raven home game I've ever seen. Now, there was a game, was it in the Flacco era? Was it San Diego where it looked like we were going to lose and we came back and won in the last couple of seconds. There's another game.
There was a Seattle game that was Seattle in 03 with Anthony Wright. That was a freakish, you know, it's the NFL. I mean, when they're losing by weird numbers and the next thing you know, it's tied and they're 8 points down and then Campbell blocks the field. I mean, the NFL, as I tweeted out at the moment, it really is something in the way that, it's a one score game. And Luke and I talked about that. It sounds like 7 points, 8 points. It's a one run game in baseball all the time. In football because of the point scoring system.
And because my take is, and again, I say the red zone is my nemesis because it couch potatoes me all Sunday, every Sunday. I'm fixated on the red zone. And my takeaway has been this year and probably the past several, but really this year is I don't think there are any great teams, Nestor. Right now, it looks to me like Buffalo and Tampa are cut above. Maybe Arizona. I'm not quite sure about them yet. But other than that, it seems to me that there are 15, 16, 17 teams that are all pretty much about the same, and then 5 or 6 teams that aren't very good.
So, well, but I would say that's a little different than it used to be because this league had Cowboys and 49ers
and
the Patriots being, you know, the modern
totally
example of
that,
which is against the grain of literally everything that they try to do. Everything they try to do is make everybody, I guess, 9-8 or 8-9 now, as I would say, 8-8 in a normal 16-game season. The fact that injuries, the salary cap. I mean, this is what baseball lacks. It's what hockey and basketball kind of lack, which is everybody feels like they're in it. Hockey, everybody's in it. Hockey's probably different in that way because so many teams make the playoffs and like all the, you feel like you can win the Stanley Cup in March. 10 teams feel like they can or 50, you know, but in football, there's usually a cream and then there's everybody else. And that's always been that way, even though they've designed it to not be that way. And the other thing I would say to you, and you're old enough to know what I'm talking about. 6-0, 6-1 is always great. But then you're a different team in November and December.
Oh,
and there's always a team that wins in February that wasn't any good at some point in October.
Oh,
look at our team, didn't score in October back in 01. We won a Super Bowl. Look at the Ravens when Flacco was planking after the loss to the Giants, right? Like we talk about the Denver beating our asses, right? Like in December, we win a Super Bowl 7 weeks later. So there is that.
With a month,
I don't
want to
be the best team in football October 10th. I don't.
With a couple of points on that. Last year, with 5 weeks to go in the season, would you have given the Ravens Snowball's chance in hell of making a play? I didn't. I didn't see a little run in them. They go on this little run, miraculous finish at Cleveland. I mean, crazy things are happening. And the best example of what you just said, although I think we all felt it last year, and it's what makes me so cautious about the Ravens this year, and we'll talk a little bit about it. I think last year when Pittsburgh jumped off to that big early run, what were they, 5 or 6-0? They never looked to me or felt to me like a 5-0 or a 6-0 team. And of course, it caught up with them. They imploded. They don't even end up being a playoff team. I mean, there was just something when they were winning early, you kept saying, it just doesn't feel right. I know.
Well, careful with that, because you're leading me down the other path of the Ravens are 4-1 and they could be 0-5.
Oh,
and they're you know, like they're not a great 4-1 team. We're all riding high because they won and they win in these exciting high wire. And Lamar is a high wire player. I mean, Lamar ran 32 yards to get 10 the other night, right? Like literally, it's something to see. And when you win and you're 4-1, you think, oh, we're 4-1, and you're like, well, you know, I mean. Chargers are coming in, and I think they're a good team for sure. I don't know what we are. Certainly defensively, we're not very good.
I think, and again, you're the class historian right now, and ask Brian this, because you're going to have Brian on soon. Ask Brian. I think right now, small sample size, 5 games, I think this is the worst Ravens defense I've ever seen, and I'm going back to the March of Brody years. Right. I'll tell you how bad it is, Nestor, and I don't know what you were thinking. When we were driving in overtime, this is how bad or what lack of confidence I have in our defense right now. And the boys looked at me like I had lost my mind. When we were driving down in overtime and we had the mix up and it ends up being, you know, 2nd and 5 instead of 1st and goal. I said to Jeff, I said, I'm going to tell you something that sounds absolutely insane here. If we don't score on these next two plays, I think we have to go for it on 4th down rather than kick a field goal and hope that we can somehow pin them down and something will happen and we can kick a field goal to win it later, because I'm afraid if we kick the field goal, they'll go right down the field because we haven't shown we could stop. I mean, there were, and again, I know everybody, we all have bad days. You have bad days when you go to work at Baltimore Positive. I had bad days when I went to work occasionally as county executive. Anthony Averett just had a bad day at the office, right? That can happen. Now, if he has a couple more of those, we have real problems.
Well, the linebacking core,
well,
and it just
that's
the
not
second
fixable.
Level is not good enough.
And it's not fixable, Nestor. It's remarkable. And boy, you and I have such great respect for Eric DaCosta, and you actually have a good friendship with Eric. He's forgotten more about football than I will ever know. And yet that whole brain trust thought that Patrick Queen was an NFL player. And I rarely, you know, I don't often quote Mike Preston, but Mike on a show.
I don't read him, so I could never quote him. So you're about to quote him in my space.
No, I
so
read
it
him.
Be
and,
good.
And a week or two in an interview, he said, look, I'm going to get roasted for this. And I tip my hat for him being bold enough to say it. He said, folks, I've watched Patrick Queen now for 3 years. And I've watched him in practice and I've watched him in games. And here's the bottom line. He doesn't like to hit. He doesn't like to be hit, and he doesn't like to hit. And that's a bad recipe for a linebacker. And I, as a result of that, have been focusing on number six. And is he fast? He's absolutely fast. But is he ever going to go in there and take on a blocker and plug up a hole and really light people? He's not. And he and Malik Harrison, who we had such high hopes for, Harrison, and you were at the game, Nestor, I would tell you that midway through the second quarter, they benched Harrison, and he saw very little playing time. They put Chris Board in instead because they had had it with him, just not knowing where to be. That's my concern. I think you're absolutely
right. Well, Wentz ran him around. I mean, and Frank Reich ran him around, and that is a different kind of offense. It's sort of that arena-style movement, everybody moving, playing sort of 7-on-7 up tight, you know, fast passes, I mean, pitching the ball underhanded. That's Carson Wentz's game, and they sort of played that to a T. I mean, they deserved to win. I mean, they came in and just, oh, yeah, you know, they sort of manhandled the Ravens, and then it all got away from them at the end.
Well, if they don't have issues with their kicker, I mean, listen, to win games, you need a little bit of luck. You need the leprechaun on your shoulder. And, you know, their kicker was hurt, and it probably cost them two field goals. I mean, the lack of discipline. Listen, I understand Deshaun Elliott. You got kicked in the head, and that's frustrating as can be. But with the game on the line, you have to suck it up.
You mean Tavon Young, excuse me.
Tavon Young, who did I say? Yeah. Oh, and I say Deshaun, yeah. Tavon Young. You have to suck it up, right? And you have to say, look, I'm not going to punch this guy in the face, because quite honestly, that could have and should have cost us the game. But none of that takes away from 37 out of 43, 442 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, 14 carries for 62 yards, 86% completion rate, the highest in NFL history, but when you've completed 40 passes. I mean, we're seeing otherworldly stuff, right, out of Lamar that, quite frankly, people weren't sure was there. So he's checked, you know, I have a bunch of folks in my life who have been skeptical of Lamar. And I said this morning to them, he's now checked all of your boxes except one, and that is whether he can go deep into the playoffs and be a serious Super Bowl contender. The throwing out outside the lines, check that box. Throw out of the pocket, check that box. Throw the deep pass, check that box.
Well, how about the box that you want to check, your Sigma Dow box, which is the – And listen, you know, one of the things with you and me and all these years, I'm always trying to get better, and I'm unabashed about it. I mean, that's what Baltimore Positive is. Every minute I'm trying to get smarter. I'm trying to get better. I learned what Duchenne disease was today as part of muscular dystrophy with a young man out in California telling me his story. So I'm always trying to learn things. You know what I mean? And Lamar has shown at every level, and I think the Louisville people would tell you this, that – a little better the second year than the first year, a little dip in the third year, but came back and battled back through that, pounds on the ground, goes over and sulks a little bit, but then figures it out and comes back and finds a better way to manage it. And in regard to Lamar right now, I don't know how you can't be a believer, because he's throwing the ball better than he did last year or the year before that, or he's seeing defenses better than he did. He's running less than he did. I don't know that he's running smarter, because he's getting hit a lot. And he got hit too much for me. But when you're down by 3 touchdowns and he's trying to win, you either get his ass off the field and concede, or you let him go out there and run around and do what he does, which is what he did, because you feel like you're down 3 scores in the fourth quarter. You have a chance to win. What? I mean,
now he has fumbled 3 times in 2 years at the 1, and could have been 4, because I actually thought the fumble where they called him down, I take the game. Record the game. I
guess
they're
all trying to hit the ball. Little 23. Lamar was out in space, and I thought the ball was going to come out there.
I think that
they're going to hunt the ball.
Call could have gone either way. In other words, we'd have been screaming and shouting, but I think that call on the one that was called down could have gone either way. So he simply has to learn. And it's real hard for a thoroughbred, because I know he's always going to try to reach the ball in and do the Superman thing. We just can't have that turnover. Now, I'll tell you, before we jump on to a topic that, boy, in probably will consume the rest of our time, which is the John Gruden thing, so, so complex. But I will tell you the other strength, and ask Billick this, make a note, ask Billick this. When the Ravens were down 16 in the fourth quarter, And they, or no, no, they were down more than that. They were down 19. And they went, when they were down 19 and they went for two, this is not hindsight. Jeff leaned over to me, and I think you said you interviewed Jeff earlier. Jeff said, "Dad, I love Harbaugh. I don't get this at all. If they don't make this two-point conversion, they now are in a box where they need two touchdowns and two two-point conversions rather than, you know, a two-point conversion and an extra point." He said, I don't get this. I know he's trying to get to within 10 points, but I think this really puts us in a box. Sure enough, we didn't make it. We needed two touchdowns, two extra points, and Superman was able to do it. So ask Bill, I want to go, what I want to know, Nestor, and you probably have asked this more than that. Do they live and die by the chart? You know, I always hear that they have this chart with numbers and the whole analytics thing, when to go for two. So I'd like to know, did Harbs just go by the chart, or was there something else motivating the go by two then? Because I can tell you, the folks who I value their opinion sitting with, they did not like that one, and that could have really cost us. So it was a heck of a night. The other thing is, I don't know if you looked around. I was stunned, Nestor. With 9 minutes to go, we're down 16 points. We've been awful the entire night. And I don't know what were there last night. You know, if it holds 70, there are probably 65 there. 65 people, nobody left. I leaned over to the guys and I said, "Guys, this is crazy. It's 11 o'clock on a Monday night. We're down 16. We've been awful. And not one person."
Well, because Lamar's capable of doing something you haven't seen before.
That's exactly. You took.
I don't know that anybody really believed they were going to win, but they believed we might get back in this one. And then all of a sudden, you look up and you're back in it. You know, you did the math after they scored the touchdown, and you're like, "All right, 10 minutes left. We got a game."
You just said the magic words. I think folks said, as crazy as it sounds, Lamar might scramble for 90 yards, and all of a sudden we're back in the game. So he keeps people in the seats, which I'm sure makes Mr. Bisciotti and the others very, very happy. But in
Don Moeller is here. He is the former Baltimore County executive. He is. We're doing the recon to reset everything here, because I know you want to go into this other thing. You mentioned your boy. I had Jeff on, and I wrote the word down, because you know when people say stuff, and I got to come back to it. He called John Gruden a fraud. Right. And I had a dear friend who you know, that you don't know that you know that he worked for John Gruden. But he 15 years ago, whenever he left the situation with John Gruden, said to me that John Gruden was a fraud. Like, literally, that was his word. And then this morning, after your son said it, I saw Keyshawn Johnson calling him a fraud. Right. Like, and on top of all of that, we talked about Urban Meyer at length last week, and I think he's a fraud, right?
Correct. And I agree.
Yeah, and Steve Spurrier was a fraud. He was a guy who golfed in who wasn't even working at the end. And I would like to think that when you were county executive for those 7 months, you weren't mailing it in. You weren't just happy to be there, wave, do the papal wave, and there's work to be done, right? And in the case of Gruden, to go back to do this, to want to do this, to have more money than God, to have a Super Bowl ring that he – everybody wanted him. He said no. He finally takes the money, and not a great circumstance, quite frankly, with the Raiders, an okay circumstance. And now he – I don't know how long he'll be a pariah, or – you know, Marv Albert came back and called basketball for 50. I mean, anything's possible in the world after you've been castigated, because we're forgiving people. I wonder what happens to him.
I have two words for you on that, which I think we're in a different time. Matt Lauer. Matt Lauer, never to be seen from or heard from again. I think that's where we are with Gruden. And my take, again, what a cesspool the football team must be, right? Because what's getting lost in all of this is, at some point, there again, Bruce Allen is a non-entity anymore anyway, but there have to be responses from Bruce Allen to these emails, unless Allen's smarter than we think he might have been. But all of this was in this whole investigation into Snyder and the football team. The irony of it is that Snyder evidently survives unscathed, and the Washington football team takes down John Gruden because these emails are in there. Now, here's the thing. And boy, how many times, Nestor, have you and I talked about this? He said what he believed to be the truth out loud. He didn't know he was saying it out loud, and he thought he could wink in and out. Listen, the fascinating thing, I saw Mike Tirico weigh in on this the other night. Tirico said, look, I traveled all over the United States with Gruden for 8 or 9 years when we did Monday Night Football. I was as close to him as anybody I've ever been close to in the NFL. These emails are reprehensible, but I have to say I never saw even a hint of that from John. Now, I believe Tirico's telling the truth, which means that it goes back to your word and Jeff's word and Keyshawn's word. The guy's a fraud. He could be what he needed to be.
Well, we saw a guy get 75 million votes in this country twice, being that guy and grabbing women by the pussy on a bus. I mean, like, he got elected. I mean, like, I don't know what, like, that was obvious. There is a large population in this country that will revere John Gruden for telling it like it is. And like, and then that's the sick part of this. And I don't know where the league, and again, you and I differ on the league. They blackball Colin Kaepernick. You're still buying tickets in the upper deck. You're passing.
I think it, I agree. No, wait a minute. But I don't disagree with that.
You're still doing business with them. You didn't excommunicate them for that. And now they're doing this tour of and racism. You know, all these slogans and stuff. Roger Goodell presided over all of this. There's no bigger fraud. Than Roger Goodell to come out 1 minute we're blackballing Colin Kaepernick and the knee, and we love Donald Trump, and now Biden's running the country. We have end racism, and we're going to go that direction, and we're gonna get rid of all the racism. We're just gonna end it the same way that the Texas governor is gonna end rape. I don't know that you're ever gonna get rid of it. You ferret it out. You try to sanitize it. You try to clean it up. But I think it's baked into the cake here with 32 white owners and guys who, behind closed doors, you know, they had know how to put on a suit and tell you what you want to hear down in Dallas, you know. And, you know, there's a lot of fraud going on. And that's my opinion. I mean, you and I had different opinions about the governor last month. But, I mean, I sit and I get my vibe and I get my feel. And then we all do. We all do. And in this case, with the NFL, I think it's a whole lot more pervasive given how black men don't get jobs and don't get advanced and like all of that. And it gets shined off every time they hire a woman and say, see, we're cool. Look at how magnanimous we are. We even sacrificed the great John Gruden. I think there's a whole lot more of that than any of us believe going on in that sport.
Well, let me set the record straight. If you've misconstrued some of my thoughts and comments, this is a good opportunity to do that. The NFL absolutely blackballed Colin Kaepernick. And Colin Kaepernick could play in the NFL today, and he is not. I think the NFL's move towards social justice
is disingenuous to me.
I was just going to use very good there, young Daniel son. I was going to use the word disingenuous. I think it's self-serving. I think it's Machiavellian. So I think it's all of those.
Well, especially
things.
On the draft, like where they dedicate 3 days to showing just how good they are. They're such good people. No, you're paying people to say you're good.
But I think the thing to watch, Nestor, and I think it's important, and you've touched on it, and it's interesting. As folks know, we don't green room the Recon or really any of our shows, but we certainly don't green room the Recon. And one of the things that I wanted to touch on as we sort of head out for another week and listen into all the good conversations you're having on Baltimore Positive, I want to see what I think is the real disconnect play out now in the United States regarding what just happened? Because it seems to me that we have a clash of that this culture war is very, very real, and it's playing out in real time right in front of us. And what I mean by that is I think it's clear that no longer will corporate America or media America, for pretty much the same thing, they're no longer in a position to tolerate the kind of points of view or openly misogynistic, openly racist, openly homophobic views by people who work for them. We've got that part in our culture. We have evolved where we say, folks, you may have a right to be misogynistic. You may have a right to be homophobic. You may have a right to be racist, but I have a right not to employ you as well. We've got
or befriend you
or friend
or tolerate that sort of behavior in my presence, right? That I'm going to sanction it because I'm not going to sanction it. That's why I stopped taking phone calls here, because I felt like we were sanctioning it, that I was contributing to it.
I understand. Now, the flip side of that is that in the same week that John Gruden resigns or fired, use whatever word you want to use, from the Las Vegas Raiders.
Sure, they're not in L.A.?
the former celebrity president goes to Idaho and has a rally in which thousands of people show up and swear their allegiance to the Führer again. And
the only other one that's ever had rallies of this magnitude was Hitler, and they look right. Sort of the same.
And there's no
– and they're about the same agenda for
not
sure.
Not 1 ounce of truth spewed during that entire thing. People being interviewed saying that it is time for a civil war. And I think you said something very, very scary a few minutes ago. And that is, you said there are millions of Americans, perhaps as many as 74, because we know there were 74 that were willing to threaten democracy in 2020. So perhaps as many as 74 million Americans who will think that John Gruden was treated unfairly. And that, to me, we talk about our good friend John Meacham, and you know how I love reading Meacham, and we got to wrap it up because we got all kinds of good things happening. But he talks about the soul of America. So I think John Gruden, once again, points us back to a discussion about the soul of America. All of this to be continued. This won't be the last time we're talking about John Meacham, NFL, Colin Kaepernick, and these topics. But in the meantime, go Lamar. Let's make it happen.
Don Mohler, former Baltimore County executive. This was the Recon. Big appreciation to all of our sponsors. See you at a State Fair in the Beaumont. We're working on things. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour comes to Nick's Grandstand Grill this Friday. It's powered up by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. We're playing football on Sunday against the former San Diego Chargers. We are WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.